I speak to you in the name of Jesus, the Lord of the dance. Amen. I hope you brought your dancing shoes, because today we dance. Almost 20 years ago, I traveled to South Africa with two members of St. Paul's Cathedral in Buffalo. We went to visit a deacon from our diocese who was serving as the diocesan administrator for the Diocese of Klerksdorp. 10 years prior to our visit, the sprawling Diocese of Johannesburg was subdivided into four smaller dioceses. The Diocese of Klerksdorp, about 2 hours southwest of Johannesburg, was the smallest of the four and the most black of the four. Now they were celebrating their 10th anniversary, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu was coming to help them celebrate. So we went to lend our meager support to this splendid anniversary. I have to say we were treated graciously and with lavish hospitality. I can still see Bishop Tutu standing at the makeshift pulpit in the football stadium under the hot sun with an acolyte holding an umbrella over his head, facing 5,000 people and preaching to them in Setswana, his own language. We sat through the three-hour Eucharist that day, enjoyed the great feast afterwards, and for 10 days toured the diocese, discovering once again how much we belong to each other across the globe. As it happened, we were in South Africa for All Saints Day, and we joined the people of All Saints Church in the township of Kanana. It was a mellow and soft evening, with the open sides of the church letting in the sweet evening and the sounds of the surrounding township and an occasional dog or two. Bishop Catherine Roskam, Assistant Bishop of New York, was the celebrant. And once again, with incense and bells and lengthy prayers in many languages, we remembered the saints of our lives. During the offertory, the youth group brought the elements to the altar, dancing their way down the aisle for the longest time in that wonderful South African slow, writhing wave, singing in full voice without any accompaniment. After the liturgy, I told the youth group leader, Charles, that in my cathedral in Buffalo, when we sang hymns, we stood still and held books. He looked at me in disbelief for the longest time and finally said, "How is that possible? How can that be?" Well, this morning we have heard the stories of two dancers. One day, King David, having fought for safety and power, having come into possession of the Ark of the Covenant, decided it needed to be brought into Jerusalem, and Jerusalem needed to be made his city. So off they set with ark, ox, and fatling sacrificed to lead the way. And the Bible says David danced before the Lord with all his might. It must have been a steamy dance, passionate and unbridled, because when David got home, his wife Michal, daughter of Saul, admonished him with sarcasm. "How the king of Israel honored himself today," she said, "uncovering himself before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." Oh, David, you went too far. I had read this passage before, but never really got it until one day I was browsing in the record store and came across a DVD of a concert of sacred music by the great Duke Ellington. In 1965, he performed this concert in Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. And toward the end of the concert, out came Bunny Briggs, the legend of tap dancing, and they performed a piece called "And David Danced Before the Lord." For almost 10 minutes, right there in the great cathedral, King David himself was tapping his way in praise and honor. And I could see the great king cascading himself around the ark, jumping and twirling, sweat shining body reflecting the light, letting go of his fiercest glory in offering to God. Go on YouTube, look up "And David Danced Before the Lord" by Duke Ellington. You will be startled and overcome by the joy of the dance. The other dancing story today comes from the National Enquirer version of the Gospel of Mark. And this dance is not to God's glory. Herod married his brother's wife. John the Baptist, never able to keep his mouth shut, scolded Herod for marrying his brother's wife. So his brother's wife, Herodias, mightily annoyed at this scolding, plotted to get John, whom Herod had imprisoned to keep him safe. On his own birthday, Herod threw a grand party for himself, and on this occasion, Herodias' daughter Salome danced for Herod's pleasure. The text of the Bible says demurely, she pleased Herod. I bet she did. This was not dancing to please God. It was dancing to stir Herod, to arouse him and give him pleasure. And so when she finished her dancing and all the veils lay on the floor and Herod was still in pleasure mode, he asked Salome, what would you like? Her mother had coaxed her, seeing an opportunity to silence this annoying prophet once and for all. So Salome, in voice at once innocent and serpentine, said, you know, I'd like John's head on a platter. And it was done. And John was done. But Jesus wasn't. And the temporary triumph of Herodias passed into the vapors of history. So put on your dancing shoes. It's probably the earliest human art form, I suspect, transforming our bodies into seduction or praise. I had no good answer for Charles in South Africa. I was pretty sure that when I returned to my cathedral in Buffalo, we were not going to exchange our stately, surpliced choir processions for raucous dancing in the aisles or in the offertory. And I doubt that you're suddenly going to get up and shake, rattle, and roll during worship this morning. You might, but I doubt it. But my esteemed granddaughter Claire put everything in perspective for me, as she always does. One day last year, she was at our house for the day. At one point, we put on a CD of Wynton Marsalis playing Baroque trumpet pieces. Claire began to dance all over the living room, twirling her arms and dancing. She's much a better dancer than I am, especially with my arthritic knees. Around and around she danced until finally she fell to the floor with great drama. I went over to her and said, Claire, get up. You can't just lie on the floor. That's the sort of nonsense admonition we give children while they think, why not? Finally, she opened her eyes and she looked up slightly smiling. She said, I can't get up. I'm afraid if I get up, I might dance. Why not? Salome danced with sweaty, nubile energy that led to nothing good. Although his wife thought he went a little too far, David danced to please the Lord, and so might we. When I attended my 50th high school reunion 4 years ago at the St. Pete Yacht Club, we tried to dance. Ugh, we tried. A few folks could still jump and twirl like we were in high school. The rest of us held on tight so we wouldn't fall. But we all danced. And the dance floor was filled with joy and delight as we danced the night away. I won't ask you to dance the offering to the altar today, nor do you need to resurrect your former tap dancing glory. But let's not be afraid of getting up. Claire was being coy. She really wanted to dance. And so do we. Amen.